talking. I could talk all night. Rashmi Nair and Scott Reed. Mark Tang just DJing straight into Scott's heart.
Well, this is actually Richard Krause's heart. We know that our friend Richard Krause is coming up because Elvis Costello is indeed his favorite. Would you say
Bowie,
right? So, but up there.
Bowie reigns supreme overall, but Elvis is a very, very close second.
Okay, this is my test for how big an Elvis fan you are, because Burt Bacharach passed away yesterday, he recorded frequently with Burt Bacharach. In fact, he did that whole... Remember, did they collaborate on that Brodsky Juliet Letters album? Was that also with Burt Bacharach? But
that was before.
It's hard to listen to, but they were big collaborators. Are you into their work together?
I am. And, you know, one of the videos that's been passed around social media over the last few days since Burt Bacharach's passing was announced is the great bit from Austin Powers, where Austin Powers says, "Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis Costello and Burt Bacharach," and they do an absolutely crackerjack version of "What Do You Get When You Fall in Love." So great.
I made my 9-year-old listen to all Burt Bacharach on the way to school today, just to, like, you know, immerse him in the education.
Well, now let's throw everyone into entertainment court.
Order in the entertainment court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
You know, if we can keep this segment going for a couple years, Richard, I think you will have the foundation to actually apply as a justice on the Supreme Court. I think you'll be able to put forward a formal application.
I'm all over it, as long as I get to wear the powdered wig.
Absolutely. And the ermine. All right. What is up on the docket first, Judge Krause?
So AMC, which is America's largest exhibition chain of theaters, they're rolling out something called Sightline. And this is a ticket pricing initiative based on seat location within the auditorium. So similar to music concerts or sporting events or Broadway, whatever it might be, moviegoers will have the option to pay more or just a little bit less for admission, depending on where they choose to sit in the venue. So what that means is that if you sit in the front row, those seats will be slightly cheaper, while if you sit in the middle of the theater, you're going to be paying much more. So my question to you is, would you pay to reserve a premium seat at a movie?
No.
Yes. I know we're all getting screwed on the ground like tent pegs these days, but I do care where I sit. I do not want to be in the front. I like to reserve a seat in advance, and I'll pay extra to be a spot that I care for.
All right, here's my verdict here. I love going to the movies, as is probably pretty obvious, but I'm not one of those people who really cares where I sit. So this wouldn't really affect me. But if you are that person who likes the middle seat in the fifth row, it's going to cost you quite a bit more to go to the movies. And it feels to me that at a time when theaters are having a tough time getting people to go to the movies, they should be making it more attractive and less expensive. Last week's successful experiment with dropping the ticket prices for 80 for Brady to appeal to a senior crowd should have sent a message to the theaters. That was an extremely successful initiative. People will go to the movies if you offer them optimum value. You don't have to underprice the experience, but charging for seat selection feels like giving people more reason to question going to theaters. Going to the movies has always been a form of mass entertainment, so let's keep it for the masses and not make a premium experience that essentially penalizes people of lower income and reward those with higher income. And that is my verdict.
All right, what's our next case, Judge?
Roger Waters, formerly of Pink Floyd, has revealed that he has been re-recording Dark Side of the Moon, the 1973 album that was first released when he was a member of Pink Floyd. And he says he's doing it because, quote, "not enough people recognized what it's about, what I was trying to say then." He has done this solo version, has been done secretly for months without the knowledge or approval or participation of anyone else in Pink Floyd, any of the other original players, and it's kind of unsure when it will be released. It's the 50th anniversary of the record this year, so it feels like probably likely it will come out in the next little while, but nobody knows. But the one person who's seen it says, "it's quite good." That's all he would say. It's quite good. So my question to you is, are you interested in a new version of Dark Side of the Moon from Roger Waters?
No.
Definitely.
I like how
not.
Definitive you're being.
This is a crass cash grab. Like, there's no, it's not like one of these things where, well, the rights had, you know, surpassed him and all this stuff. And I mean, this is just like, hey, man, 50th anniversary is coming up and I can't get along with my bandmates, so I'm going to see if I can actually, like, just grab a little piece of the action.
Here's my verdict. What is Roger Waters going to do next? Touch up the Mona Lisa? Perhaps reinterpret the Mesoamerican pyramids so that they're not so angular. Dark Side of the Moon is a stone-cold classic. It is Pink Floyd's most commercially successful album and one of the best-selling albums of all time worldwide. It has been reinterpreted many times, somewhere in a big pile of CDs over in the other end of my office. I have an all-bluegrass version of it sitting there. But there's something about this new Roger Waters version, even though I haven't heard it yet, that rubs me the wrong way. It comes colored with the recent sniping in the press between Waters and his former Pink Floyd bandmates and was recorded without their knowledge. To me, this isn't a tribute or a reinterpretation, but a jab, a score settling for an argument that nobody's interested in having. Dark Side of the Moon was primarily developed by the band during live performances, and for my money, any version of it recorded in secret without the entire band is nothing more than a tribute act trying to relive old glories, and that is my verdict.
All right, it's our final case on the docket.
So everyone knows what's happening with Netflix. They're rolling out plans to crack down on password sharing. The streaming giant says it will begin notifying Canadian users this week by mail about limitations on who can access their account outside of their household. So if you have kids in college and they're across the country somewhere and they're still using your password, well, that's going to stop. If you have grandparents that are using that password, that's going to stop. So the question here is, will you keep your Netflix account even if you can't share it?
Yeah, I never shared mine. I actually have no problem with this, which drives our producer, Ben, crazy. Sorry, guys. You were getting a free ride.
Yeah.
Ben, just to put some color on this, literally wants to go to Reed Hastings' house and just like choke him with passwords. He's very, very distressed by this. I'm kind of in the world of, you know, they got to do something because the economic model never made any sense. Oh, it doesn't matter if we make money. We'll just have, you know, we'll just get new subscribers. And now, like, hey, they run out of subscribers. And Wall Street has said, you know what, that idea about not making money, it actually is not a way to make money. So you're going to have to do things. So I'm okay with this. I still think there's lots of latitude to have lots of people in your home have it.
But will you keep your Netflix account?
Here's my verdict, and this may seem counterintuitive given what I was just talking about with AMC, but I'm all for what Netflix is doing. It's not a popular opinion, I know, but we live in a time where entertainment has rarely ever been more valuable. Imagine the lockdowns without Netflix or other streamers. We demanded a constant stream of new shows and movies to keep us company during the pandemic, and they provided an endless stream of old and new shows to help us pass the endless hours. And yet, after all of that, we complain when we actually have to pay for entertainment. Making the shows and movies that help us pass the hours is expensive, and paying your share of that is the cost of doing this deal with Netflix. So don't share your passwords. That is my verdict.
Thank you, Judge Krause. Ben Harrison and Mark Tang, both younger than us, are very disappointed in this discussion we're having.
We are the Stranger Things panel here. They do not like our verdicts.
We appreciate you. Happy Friday, Richard Krause.
Happy Friday to you. Thanks.
Thank you. That is Entertainment Court every Friday right here on The Rush. Stay with us. It's Rush Renayer and Scott Reed.